not an overwhelmingly appealing proposition. As always, most drivers slowed and took a look and then kept on going. The first car prepared to take a chance on him came along after 40 minutes. It was a year-old Subaru wagon, driven by a lean, middle-aged guy in pleated chino pants and a crisp, khaki shirt. Dressed by his wife, Reacher thought. The guy had a wedding ring. But under the fine fabrics was a working man's body, a thick neck and large red knuckles. The slightly surprised and somewhat reluctant boss of something, Reacher thought. The kind of guy who starts out digging post holes and ends up owning a fencing company. Which turned out to be a good guess. Initial conversation established the guy had started out with nothing to his name but his daddy's old framing hammer and had ended up owning a construction company, responsible for 40 working people and the hopes and dreams of a whole bunch of clients. He finished his story with a little facial shrug, part Yankee modesty, part genuine perplexity. As in, how did that happen? Attention to detail, Reacher thought. This was a very organized guy, full of notions and nostrums and maxims and cast iron beliefs, one of which was at the end of summer, it was better to stay away from both Route 1 and I-95, and in fact to get out of Maine altogether as fast as possible, which meant soon and sideways on Route 2, straight west into New Hampshire, to a place just south of Berlin, where the guy knew a bunch of back roads that would get them down to Boston faster than any other way. Which was where the guy was going for a meeting about marble countertops. Reacher was happy. Nothing wrong with Boston as a starting point. Nothing at all. From there, it was a straight shot to Syracuse, after which Cincinnati was easy, via Rochester and Buffalo and Cleveland. Maybe even via Akron, Ohio. Reacher had been in worse places, mostly in the service. They didn't get to Boston. The guy got a call on his cell after 50-some minutes heading south on the aforementioned New Hampshire back roads, which were exactly as advertised. Reacher had to admit the guy's plan was solid. There was no traffic at all, no jams, no delays. They were bowling along, doing 60 miles an hour, dead easy. Until the phone rang. It was hooked up to the car radio, and a name came up on the navigation screen with a thumbnail photograph as a visual aid. In this case, of a red-faced man wearing a hard hat and carrying a clipboard. Some kind of a foreman on a job site. The guy at the wheel touched a button, and phone hiss filled the car from all the speakers, like surround sound. The guy at the wheel spoke to the windshield pillar and said, "This better be good news." It wasn't. It was something to do with an inspector from a municipal buildings department and a metal flue liner above a fireplace in an entrance lobby, which was properly insulated, exactly up to code, except that couldn't be proved visually without tearing down the stonework, which was by that point already three stories high, nearly done, with the masons booked on a new job starting the next week, or alternatively, without ripping out the custom walnut millwork in the dining room on the other side of the chimney, or the millwork in the closet above, which was rosewood and even more complicated. But the inspector was being a hard ass about it and needed to see for himself. The guy at the wheel glanced at Reacher and said, "Which inspector is it?" The guy on the phone said, "The new one." "Does he know he gets a turkey at Thanksgiving?" "I told him we're all on the same side here." The guy at the wheel glanced at Reacher again, as if seeking permission or offering an apology or both, and then he faced front again and said, "Did you offer him money?" "$500. He wouldn't take it." Then the cell signal ran out. The sound went garbled, like a robot drowning in a swimming pool, and then it went dead. The screen said it was searching. The car rolled on. Reacher said, "Why would a person want a fireplace in an entrance lobby?" The guy at the wheel said, "It's welcoming."